Hi, Rebecca Shear here, inviting you to join the Circle Round Club. You can get ad-free episodes, bonus bedtime stories, and first dibs on tickets to Circle Round events, plus exclusive access to our club store, where you can get special extras, like a personalized birthday message from me. Join today at wbur.org/CircleRoundClub.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
There's an old saying that goes, keep the gold and keep the silver, but give us wisdom. In other words, knowledge, good judgment, insight, they can be way more valuable than so-called treasures like silver and gold. In today's story, we'll meet a character who doesn't have much silver or gold to speak of, but when it comes to wisdom, she's beyond rich. I'm Rebecca Shear, and welcome to Circle Round, where story time happens all the time. Today, our story is called A Bee in the Bush. Versions of this tale come from the Southeast Asian country of Vietnam. Some really great people came together to bring you our adaptation of this folktale, including Erica Ishii, a storyteller in the podcast Worlds Beyond Number, an improviser on Dropout, and the voice of Valkyrie in Apex Legends. You kids may recognize Erica's voice from the Disney series Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. So circle around, everyone, for A Bee in the Bush. Rose and her mother lived in a little red house in the village. The little red house didn't belong to Rose and her mother. They rented it from a landlord who somehow managed to squeeze every penny he could out of them in rent. What's more, he was always raising the rent and squeezing them even more. Eventually, the landlord raised the rent so high that Rose's mother had to take on several jobs. One paycheck just wasn't enough. So each morning she departed the house at dawn, hours before Rose got up for school, then spent the rest of the day running from job to job. One day, Rose happened to wake up earlier than usual. Not early enough to catch a glimpse of Mother, but early enough to enjoy a little free time before dashing to her first class.
My homework's all done, and I cleaned the house before Mother got home last night. I think I'll go out to the garden, see how the roses are doing.
Roses were Mother's favorite flower. Not only did she name her daughter after the brilliant blossoms, but she planted them all over the front yard when Rose was born. When Rose was a little girl, she and Mother tended the rose bushes together, their faces slick with sweat and sunshine as they watered, weeded, and pruned side by side. These days, with Mother around so rarely, Rose did all the watering, weeding, and pruning on her own. The morning sun was bright and clear, and as Rose stepped outside, she noticed the rose bushes were sparkling with dew. They were also buzzing with bumblebees, fuzzy, striped critters that whizzed and whirred from flower to flower as they gathered dusty pollen on their tiny legs.
Goodness, you little critters are mighty busy today, aren't you? I guess it is spring, so the pollen must be especially...
Excuse me.
Rose looked up. Standing at the edge of the yard was the landlord, wearing an expensive black suit. She couldn't tell which was darker, his suit or his scowl.
Young lady, do you know what day it is?
I believe it's Tuesday, sir.
The landlord flared his nostrils and rolled his eyes.
Yes, it's Tuesday, but more importantly, it's the first day of the month, which means your rent is due. And by the way, I've raised it again, so this month you owe even more.
Rose's stomach clenched. Even with Mother juggling how many jobs these days, there was no way they could afford another rise in rent. Rose's mind began to race. If only she could get the landlord off their backs, or at least buy them more time. Quickly, she began hatching a plan.
Good sir. I can't believe I forgot what day it is. My mother and I so look forward to your visits each month. But I'm afraid you'll have to speak with her about the rent. It's my mother who deals with such things, not I.
The landlord gave his nostrils another flare, and his eyes another roll.
Okay, fine. I'll speak with your mother. Is she home?
Nope.
Where is she, then?
At work.
And where does she work?
Well,
Rose tapped her chin.
I'm afraid that's a hard question to answer, sir. My mother works many places.
So, where might she be now?
If you really want to know, she might be in the woods, cutting down live wood so she can plant dead wood.
Rose watched the landlord's face. Just as she'd hoped, his brow furrowed in confusion.
In the woods? Cutting down live wood so she can plant dead wood? What the devil does that mean?
Or my mother might be at the marketplace, selling wind so she can buy the forest.
The landlord's brow furrowed even deeper.
Selling wind so she can buy the forest? What are you talking about?
On the other hand, she might be in the field, making many out of few.
The landlord's brow was so furrowed by now, Rose could imagine driving a plow through it.
You're telling me your mother might be in the field, making many out of few. You must explain what this nonsense means, because it sounds like mumbo-jumbo to me, and I am a very intelligent man. I'm every bit as smart as I am rich. Everyone knows that.
Rose shook her head.
I don't know, sir. If you truly were as smart as you are rich, you would understand what I'm talking about. It would be an awful shame if word got out that you were outsmarted by a mere schoolgirl.
The landlord fell quiet. He stared down at his shiny shoes, heaved a sigh, then fixed Rose with a pointed look.
All right, fine. Explain what you were talking about just now, and I will forget about this month's rent. You and your mother won't owe a thing.
I don't know.
Fine. You won't have to pay next month's rent either.
Well,
or the month after that. I shall give you 1 month's rent for each of the three riddles.
Rose smiled to herself. 3 months of living rent-free would take a huge load off her mother's back. It might even allow the two of them to start saving up for a house of their own.
Okay, sir, I accept your offer. I'll explain where my mother might be, and you'll do away with the next 3 months of rent. But I need a witness.
A witness?
Yes, someone who heard you make your promise. I need you to stand by your side of the bargain.
The landlord scoffed.
Oh, come now. Do we really need a witness? My word is as good as gold. And besides, it's so early, there's not a living soul around.
Are you sure? How about that?
Rose gestured toward the garden.
A rose bush?
No, not a rose bush. That bumblebee buzzing around the rose bush. The bumblebee can be our witness.
The landlord shot Rose a searching look.
A bumblebee as a witness? Are you serious?
Absolutely.
Well, then, okay. That bumblebee in the rose bush will be our witness. It will make sure that I stand by my side of the bargain.
Great. Now I will give you the answers you seek.
She took a breath and began to explain.
When I said my mother might be in the woods cutting down live wood so she can plant dead wood, what I meant was she might have gone to cut down trees so she can build a fence for the farmer down the road.
The landlord stroked his chin. Rose could tell he was impressed.
Interesting. So how about the second thing you said, about how your mother might be at the marketplace, selling wind so she can buy the forest?
What I meant by that was, my mother might have gone to the market to sell fans so she could buy bamboo to make more fans. Fans produce wind, you know, and you craft fans out of bamboo.
I know how fans work. I must have hundreds of them in my mansion. But, how about the third thing you said? The one about your mother being in the field, making many out of few?
What I meant there was, my mother's other job is planting corn. And each kernel she plants will one day grow into a tall stalk with cobs that have many kernels on them. Get it?
Of course I get it! Of course I get it. And I appreciate you educating me with your little riddles. So now I promise that you and your mother won't have to pay any rent for 3 whole months, as the bumblebee in the rosebush is my witness.
And with that, he tipped his hat and went on his way. A few days later, however, Mother came home from work in tears.
Rose, I have bad news.
What is it, Mother? What's happened?
It's the landlord. He sent me a summons today. He's taking me to court for failing to pay this month's rent. You said he made a promise that we wouldn't have to pay for 3 whole months.
Rose wrapped a gentle arm around Mother's trembling shoulder.
He did make a promise, Mother. And the truth is, I had a feeling he might break it. But don't worry, I have a plan. And if all goes well, that greedy landlord won't just get off our backs. He'll make like a bee and buzz off.
What do you think Rose is planning? What would you do if you were Rose? We'll find out what happens after a quick break.
Support for the Circle Round podcast comes from Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform that lets you find candidates fast. Ditch the busy work and use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/CircleRound. That's Indeed.com/CircleRound. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back to Circle Round. I'm Rebecca Shear. Today, our story is called A Bee in the Bush. Before the break, a greedy landlord promised Rose that she and her mother could live rent-free for 3 months if she gave him the answers to 3 riddles. Rose agreed and suggested that a bumblebee in her mother's rosebush act as witness to hold the landlord to his word. But the landlord went back on that word, and next thing Rose and Mother knew, they were being summoned to court. When they entered the courtroom, the landlord was already there, his arms folded across his chest, a smirk plastered across his face.
Look at him, Rose. So cocky and confident. I'm sure he thinks he'll win.
Not if I can help it, Mother. I told you, I have a plan.
Just then, the judge came sweeping in, the hem of his black robe swishing around his ankles as he approached the bench.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This court will now come to order.
The judge took a seat and turned toward the landlord.
Sir, as the plaintiff in this case, the one who has brought forth the complaint, I'd like you to present your argument.
I thank you, Your Honor, and my argument is simple. I am a landlord, and on the first day of the month, I collect my rent. Well, the first day of this month came and went, and this woman here...
The landlord jabbed an accusing finger at Mother.
She has failed to pay!
Thank you, sir. We'll now hear from the defendant.
The judge shifted his gaze toward Mother.
Madam, this gentleman has made a serious accusation. What do you say in your defense?
Well, Your Honor, what the landlord says is true. I did not pay this month's rent.
See, I told you so!
Sir, you've spoken your piece. Now settle down. It's the defendant's turn.
Sorry. Your Honor, what I was going to say is I did not pay this month's rent because the landlord promised I wouldn't have to.
Is that so?
The judge leaned forward.
What did he say when he made his promise?
He didn't say anything to me, Your Honor. He made the promise to my daughter, Rose, while I was out working.
The judge pressed his lips together then nodded toward Rose.
Rose, can you please tell this court what the landlord promised you while your mother was out working?
Of course, Your Honor. The landlord promised that Mother and I wouldn't have to pay the rent for 3 months once I explained 3 riddles.
3 riddles?
The judge cocked his head.
What kinds of riddles?
Riddles about my mother's whereabouts. She has to work a whole bunch of jobs to pay the bills. And when the landlord came by and asked me where she was, I wasn't sure which job she was working. So I told him she might be in the woods, cutting down live wood so she can plant dead wood.
Meaning what?
Meaning she might have gone to cut down trees so she can build a fence for the farmer down the road. Then I told him she might be at the marketplace, selling wind so she can buy the forest.
And what did you mean by that?
I meant she might have gone to the market to sell fans, so she could buy bamboo to make more fans. And then I told him she might be in the field, making many out of few.
And what was your meaning there?
My meaning was she might have gone to plant corn, with each kernel growing into a stalk that would produce many kernels.
Nonsense! Your Honor, this schoolgirl is spouting lies!
Sir, I told you. You had your turn. Now please settle down.
The judge shot the landlord a sharp look, then returned his gaze to Rose.
So, Rose, this conversation you claim to have had with the landlord, did anyone overhear his promise that you and your mother needn't pay rent for 3 months? Were there any witnesses?
Rose nodded her head.
Yes, Your Honor, there was a witness.
Oh? And who was this witness?
It wasn't so much who, Your Honor, as what.
Fair enough. What was this witness, then?
Well, Your Honor, the witness was a butterfly on a magnolia tree.
That is not true!
The landlord didn't just interrupt this time. He sprang to his feet and began gesturing wildly with his hands.
The witness was not a butterfly on a magnolia tree. The witness was a bumblebee on a rosebush. I saw it with my very own eyes when I...
The landlord stopped short. He clapped a hand over his mouth. But it was too late. The damage had been done. The judge's eyes danced with amusement as he fixed them on Rose and her mother.
Well, ladies, thanks to our plaintiff's little... outburst just now. I believe the truth has burst out as well. The landlord clearly made a promise, and clearly he must keep it. The two of you will not owe any rent for the next 3 months. And furthermore, to make up for your troubles, you will not owe any rent for the next 3 years. This case is closed.
Over the next 3 years... Mother could finally spend less time at work and more time with her daughter. She and Rose enjoyed meals together. They took walks together. They even watered, weeded, and pruned the rose garden together. They enjoyed each and every minute and carefully saved each and every penny. When the 3 years were up, Rose and Mother found themselves with enough money to buy the little red house from the landlord. And now that they truly had a home of their own, the gruff, greedy fellow was never a bee in their bonnet again. Now it's your turn. As we heard in today's story, sometimes when we encounter a problem, it helps to get creative, to think outside the box. The next time you face a problem, try asking yourself the following questions. 1. What am I trying to do? 2. What isn't working? 3. What have I tried already? 4. What else can I try? By going through this list of questions and using your creativity and imagination, you just might have the breakthrough you've been looking for. This week's episode, A Bee in the Bush, was adapted by me, Rebecca Shear. It was edited by Sophie Codner. Our original music and sound design is by Eric Shimalonis. Our artist is Sabina Hahn. Sabina has created a black and white coloring page for all of our Circle Round stories, and you can print them out and color them in. Grown-ups, visit our website, wbur.org/circleround, and click on Coloring Pages. Special thanks to this week's actors, Paul Date, Erica Rose, Ryan P. Schreim, and Erica Ishii. You can hear Erica Ishii's voice in games and shows like Apex Legends, Destiny 2, and the Disney series Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. You can also find her improvising magical tales and playing Dungeons & Dragons on Dimension 20, Dropout, and her podcast, Worlds Beyond Number. Our featured instrument this week was the bamboo flute. You can learn more about this ancient instrument that's been part of Vietnam's rural life for centuries and see a photo of Eric Shimalonis playing it on our website. Again, that's wbur.org/circleround. And while you're at wbur.org/circleround, you can check out our upcoming live events, get your hands on our Circle Round picture books, and you can become the newest member of the Circle Round Club. It's a super fun way to support the public radio podcast you love and get all sorts of perks, including ad-free episodes, bonus bedtime stories, and first dibs on tickets to Circle Round events. You can also get activity emails, newsletters, and educational videos about the musical instruments you hear on Circle Round. Plus, you'll have exclusive access to the Circle Round Club store, where you can get super special extras, including a personalized birthday message from me, Rebecca Shear. Become a member today at wbur.org/circleround. Grown-ups, if you enjoy Circle Round, please leave us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast app. It helps other listeners find the show. Circle Round is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Rebecca Shear. Thanks for circling round with us. Now that you've made it to the end of this Circle Round episode, we want to know, what's your favorite Circle Round story? Thousands of fans just like you have been telling us about the Circle Round stories they like best. Take a listen. Maybe one of their favorites is one of yours, too.
Hi, my name is Yunjae, and I'm from Korea, and my favorite Circle Round story is The Unwelcome Guest, and I like the part where the man stuffs food in his coat.
My name is Yunjae. I'm from South Korea. My favorite Circle Round is The Hungry Hippo. I like the part where the hippo doesn't share the food and the grass.
Hi, my name's Nuhan. I live in Austin, Texas. And my favorite Circle Round story is The Sweetest Sounds because I like the part when the wizard said you cheated.
My name is Gretchen and I live in Los Angeles. My favorite Circle Round is The Forest Folk because the main character is Gretchen and my name is Gretchen.
Hi, my name is Maple from Portland, Oregon. My favorite Circle Round story is The Great Acorn Robbery. I like the part when Squirrel finds out that her acorn pile is getting smaller every day.
My name is Angela. I live in Toronto, Canada. And my favorite Circle Round story is The Three-Legged Pot. I like the part when the pot says, "It's time to skip and skip. Whee!" Because it's really funny.
My name is Risa. I live in Woodway, Texas. My favorite Circle Round story is The Sharpest Deck. I like the part where Master Dean tricks the merchant.
My name is Ada. I live in Hawaii, and my favorite Circle Round story is The Goat in the Garden because I like the part when he says, "Don't you know who I am? I'm the billy goat from the hills and mountains. So you get out."
Did someone mention a story you've missed? Not to worry. Grown-ups, you can find all of our Circle Round stories, plus links to the Circle Round Club, picture books, coloring pages, and oh so much more on our website, wbur.org/circleround.